You may be seated. So Jesus rose from the dead. That's what we celebrated last week at Easter. He resurrected from the dead. But then, it says, for 40 days he appeared to people. You remember he came into the room when the door was locked, and apparently he came right through the wall. Isn't that cool? His resurrected body. Molecules change, and when we get our new body, glorified body, we'll be able to go through walls. Isn't that cool? We go just about anywhere. So he shocked them half to death. And then Thomas, who didn't believe that he rose from the dead, says, here, Thomas, look at my hands and my feet. And he not just showed up to those disciples, but he showed up to hundreds of disciples over a 40-day period to prove that he had risen from the dead. First of all, what we're going to look at today, number one, if you're taking notes, when Jesus took off to heaven, the disciples saw loss, but God saw gain, and he promised us an active gift. We're talking about the ascension of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going out of order. I know I probably should wait 40 days before I talk about the ascension, but this is what the Lord laid upon my heart. That right after he rose from the dead, the church had to become active. The church had not been established yet, and Jesus had to ascend so his church could start. But listen what he said to him earlier. We read it earlier. This is what Jesus said to him as he's ascending up into heaven. He's going up into the clouds, his resurrected body, and they're standing there watching him. And as the last cloud, he goes through it, they're still standing there gazing up at him. And the last words that someone always says are very important. And what were the last words that he said to them? And he's saying to us today. He said to them, John baptized with water, but in a few days, when you wait, you have to wait. I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And then he said, you will receive power to be my witness to the ends of the earth. Now, that word power to them means more than what it means to us today, because that word is dunamis in the original, which is where we get our word dynamite. So what he was saying to the disciples is, you need to hurry up and wait. You need to, after I ascend, you need to hurry up and go wait upon God. You need to get this gift that I'm going to send to you. It is the Holy Spirit. I'm going to baptize you in it. I'm going to immerse you in it. I'm going to fill you with this Holy Spirit so that you can be witnesses to the ends of the earth, not only in your hometown, but the whole world. And I will give you the power through the Holy Spirit. I will give you dynamite, explosive power that comes from heaven in order to spread the word of God to all nations. And I hear over and over and over again, as I've been a pastor for so many decades now, people say, I just don't know how to talk to other people about Jesus. I just don't know how to tell them about God. That's because you need to get the gift. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit. And he fills you with his Holy Spirit. And he gives you dynamite, explosive energy and boldness to tell other people about Jesus. And it's not you that's telling them. It's his Spirit working through you. Isn't that wonderful? Now, there's the angels looking at those disciples, gazing up into heaven, staring up into the sky. What did those angels say to the disciples, his closest followers? They say, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? Now, if those angels were to speak to us today, they'd say, people of Northwest Missouri, why are you standing here looking up into the sky? Or people of Hammer Memorial United Methodist Church, why are you standing here looking up in the sky? I would propose to you today that most of the church around the world, especially in Western culture, is doing exactly that. We're just staring up in the sky, wanting Jesus to do something for us. Where are you, Jesus? Help me out of my problem. Help me out of my pain. Help me out of my grief. And that is okay. We need his help. We need his touch. We need his healing. We need all these things. But he said, I'm going to give you a gift that will override all the sorrow and hurt and pain and distress in this life. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, my presence actually living inside of you, which is like dynamite that will explode so that you can go out and build the kingdom of God and be the kingdom of God as I want you to do. Why do you stand here looking into the sky? Why? In other words, he was saying, hurry up and go away. Hurry up and go away. Remember, they went to the upper room and they waited 10 days. And some of them dropped out. They started with 500, only up to 120. And they waited, and then the Holy Spirit came and whammed them one good, filled them. They started speaking in other tongues. Fire from heaven came. The wind of heaven came into the room, and they were never the same. And they were able to go out and start the Church of Jesus Christ. And the first sermon that was preached, 5,000 people got saved. And it just kept multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. And that same Holy Spirit is still here, and we need it resident in the church today. We need it resident in each and every one of us. Not just the preacher, just not us church leaders, but each and every one of us are to be filled with this gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, what these angels were saying is go get filled with the power and the presence of God. You are to take Jesus' place now that he has ascended into heaven. We are the body of Christ now. We take Jesus' place. Nothing's going to happen unless we do it. Hello, church? Nothing's going to happen unless we do it, church. Nothing's going to happen until we become the hands, the feet, and the mouth of Jesus Christ. And he's given us the power and the dynamite, explosive energy to be able to do it. And holy boldness. And we have no excuses. So don't come to this pastor anymore and go, I just don't know how to talk to people about Jesus. Of course you don't. You need the gift. You need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, the fire of heaven, and he will give you the holy boldness. All you have to do is ask for it. Jesus, you promised me this gift. I want to take this gift. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And then he fills you with his Holy Spirit. You begin to say things that you didn't even know that were there. Scripture that you learned when you were a child in Sunday school, and it can come out and you'll be able to share it with other people. It's amazing what God can do. Now, isn't it great that Peter showed up? What if Peter didn't show up? What if he didn't show up? He would have missed out. And a lot of people are missing out on the touch and the power and presence of God today because they don't show up. Just think if he didn't show up. The scripture wouldn't say, and on this rock, Peter, I built my church. If Peter didn't show up, he couldn't say that. He'd have to say, and on this rock, George, I built my church. Because George showed up. Think about it. Why do you stand here looking into the sky? Get the fire from heaven. Get fired up and ready to be the mouth of Jesus and speak the word of God. The ascension of Jesus Christ is active. He went up. And he was taking action to put his church into existence. And he wants a church that's in action. I drove by a church on the freeway not too long ago. It said, Action Church. Oh no, it was called Church in Action. Boy, I hope they're living up to that. I saw they had to move out of the building and move into a bigger one. Because they realize they need this gift. That it doesn't stop at Easter and the resurrection. Our responsibility starts now that Jesus has ascended into heaven. So why do you stand here looking up? Well, I went to church today. But what did you do during the week? Well, this is good preaching. Someone's going to throw a brick at me later. He's called us. He's chosen us. He's picked us to represent him. He's asking us to go into our upper room and wait upon him until we get the gift from heaven, the great and splendid, powerful Holy Spirit to fill us so we can be his mouthpiece, to be his hands and his feet, to do his ministry that he's no longer on earth here to do. There are four very important things that take place that day when Jesus ascended into heaven. The first one is this. Probably you never thought about this. I never thought about this before until I was unwrapping this. That there was no salvation for human souls until he ascended into heaven. Salvation for all human souls was activated the moment he ascended into heaven. There's no salvation until Jesus becomes our representative in heaven. And it's not by our good works that we get into heaven. It's only because Jesus has gone into heaven before us. Listen to what Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 says. It says, he, talking about Jesus, is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead. Praise God. But I know that my mother is in heaven today because Jesus went and made a place for her. He paved the way. The second very important thing about this ascension of Jesus going into heaven was we now have a high priest that we can go to anytime, anywhere. They say that there's no such thing as prayer in school. You know, I've been in a lot of school districts where they, you know, no prayer, no Bible. Thank God here it's allowed. But as long as there's going to be tests in school, there's going to be prayer. Amen? You can't stop people from praying. You can't stop people from going to the high priest Jesus. So now we have a high priest that he has ascended up into heaven. There was no priesthood until the priest ascends. He is the high priest. And now he calls us his priesthood, a priesthood of believers. So you and I are now a priest. The priesthood of all believers was activated the minute Jesus ascended into heaven. That's why he's saying, don't stand here gazing up in the sky. Go and be a priest now. Tell somebody next to you, you're a priest. Oh, come on, tell somebody. They need to know you're a priest. Body, you're a priest. You're part of the priesthood of Jesus Christ, and he's the high priest. And it says that we are a new nationality. Guess what? Our first allegiance is to the kingdom of God. Citizenship in heaven, as the Bible says. America comes second. And we got those reversed sometimes. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter 2:9. Just think if Peter didn't show up on that day, this would be 1 George 2:9. Think about it. I'm losing some of you. Some of you need to turn the air conditioning on. Wake some people up. I don't know what's going on. Listen to what 1 Peter 2:9 says. But you are a chosen people. He's talking about you and me. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. That's who you are today. You're a royal priesthood. A holy nation. We are now citizens of the biggest nation that ever existed. The kingdom of God. I was that excited about 5 or 6 of you. I see some of you smiling and nodding your head. The rest of you, I don't get it. You've got to have the Holy Spirit to get most of what's going on. Because the disciples don't understand most of what's going on. So get the gift. Get the gift. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Let the fire of heaven fill your soul, your spirit, your innermost being, and take control of your life. And he will give you holy boldness that you never knew that you could possibly have.
Amen.
Well, I'm still reading the same verse. This thing's just powerful. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. The third thing that's so important about this day is we now have a mediator between us and God. Before Christ ascended into heaven, we had no mediator. There was no mediation until Christ is in the presence of the Father. A mediator was activated as they were going up in the clouds. As he was going up in the clouds. That's why the angel said, why are you standing here looking from the sky? Jesus is already up there and he's already praying for you. That's what scripture says. He's interceding on your behalf at all times. I mean, when you're really hurting and you're really down and you know, live by our administrative assistant, he's really hurting right now. You know who's praying for her right now? Ever interceding for her, mediating for her, Jesus himself. Isn't that awesome? There was no mediator until he ascended. And that's why he's telling the disciples, don't stand here, look up in the sky. If you're hurting, if you're missing me, you think I'm lost, don't have a funeral service for me. Get busy. Go hurry up and wait on God and get the gift of the Holy Spirit. The fourth thing that's important about this ascension is the church is activated. There's no operative church until its head is in place. He was going into heaven so that he could activate his church. The church didn't exist until this time. And it wouldn't happen until they got filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. In Colossians 1:8 it says that he, talking about Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. Let's go on to number two. When Jesus took off to heaven, the disciples had to stop consuming and start doing. We live in a very consumer-based church mentality in the West now. I go to church to see what I can get from God. And you know, if I don't like what's going on in this church, I'll try another church until I get what I want. And we go shopping. You know, it's called church shopping. We have a former pastor here who knows what I'm talking about, right? People will even tell you, won't they? Well, we've been shopping for churches. Right there, consumerism. The disciples were no longer allowed to stand and watch Jesus heal people with leprosy. They now had to stop consuming his teaching, which they loved, and stop consuming his miracles, and stop consuming all the exciting stuff that he was doing. And now they had to go to the lepers. That's why I say, stop gazing up in the sky. You got some work to do. Why are you looking up here? My feet are not even sticking in the clouds anymore. I'm already up in heaven. Hurry up and go wait and get together so you can help the lepers. No longer just one person helping to heal the lepers, Jesus, but now thousands of his disciples could go and help the lepers. And today, billions of Christians can go help the lepers. But no, most Christians are looking into the sky, gazing for a look at Jesus. Oh, Jesus, touch me. Oh, Jesus, heal me. Jesus, give me this, and Jesus, give me that. And there's nothing wrong with that. We need that. But when that's all there is, then it's just consumerism, religion, and there's no power to that. The Holy Spirit says, why do you stand here looking into the sky? Go get your hands dirty with ministry. The disciples no longer get to consume of the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. They were there that day when they saw Jesus take just a few loaves of bread and a few fishes and multiply it to feed 20,000 people. Said 5,000, it was just men. So 20,000 people, and you don't think they didn't eat too? They were hungry. Now, Jesus said, you go out and feed the hungry. You take care of the poor. For the scripture says, the poor you'll have with you always. Why are you standing here looking into the sky, church? The followers of Jesus can no longer be consumed by watching Jesus heal the paralyzed man, or the demon-possessed man, or the deaf man, or the blind man. Why are you standing here looking into the sky? Go heal people. Go heal people. The Pharisees asked Jesus this really good question. Because it looked like Jesus' disciples were having a blast most of the time. The Pharisees said to Jesus, why are your disciples always eating and drinking? I mean, they're hanging out with some tax collectors, some pretty wild people. They're having some really good food and they're really drinking and having a good time. And Jesus says, well, someday I'll be gone and then they're going to have to fast and pray. And that's what the angel meant when he said, why are you standing here looking up at the sky? It's time to go fast and pray. It's time for you to be spirit spitless so you need to be filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the fire from heaven, so that you can go out and bring this message to the ends of the earth. The scripture says greater things than what Jesus did is what we will do. Jesus raised people from the dead. Look it up. Get your concordance up. We will do greater things than he did. Because there's more of us. Now some people think, well, we'll go out and we'll raise people from the dead. What's going on? And we'll go on to the morgue and raise everybody from the dead. We'll go to the hospital and pray that everybody get healed. No. But we'll have the power maybe to build hospitals, stop diseases. But we'll also have the same power to heal people when we lay hands on them when they're sick and cast out demons and see paralyzed people walk. Well, only the pastor can do that because he's got credentials to do that. No. It's for everybody. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwelling within you. Let's look at number three. When Jesus took off to heaven, the disciples had to stop using him and start being useful for him. Ooh, let that one soak in a little bit. Well, I'm not hearing any amens this morning. Jesus was sleeping in the boat, remember, where there was this humongous storm that took place? A wave was crashing, and they said, "We're going to die, we're going to die!" I mean, they were scared spitless. And so what do? They go over, and Jesus is sleeping through it all. And they go over and they shake Jesus, and he goes, "Jesus, Jesus, this is a bad storm going on." And Jesus goes, "What?" He goes, "Well, thanks for waking me up." No. The first thing he says to him is he rebukes him. He says, "Oh, you of little faith." Well, what a slap in the face that is. See, he was getting ready for the ascension. He was getting ready for them to do ministry. He was getting ready for the day when he was going to ascend into heaven and they were going to have to take charge. Matter of fact, when he was saying, "Oh, you a little faith," is basically what he says is, "Why don't you rebuke the storm? Why are you afraid? Don't you know who I am? I'm in the boat with you. I can't sink. If I sink, you sink. If I die, you die. Then there's no eternal life." They use Jesus for all their needs, which is good. But there has to become a time where we stop using God and we become useful for God. That don't preach well, America. No. You want to empty out a church fast, preach that every week. Let me say that one again. There has to become a time where we stop using God and become useful for God. Why do you stand looking into the sky? Ephesians 2:10 says this. I love this scripture because it gives us purpose and meaning for why we're here on earth. It says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do." God has prepared in advance good works for you to do. You are his workmanship. You need to find out what that is. And get busy. And be useful. Use your pain and your hurt. I know that when I'm preaching that 50% of the people in the pews are hurting. You're going through something. Some kind of trial. Grief. Pain. Use your pain and your hurt to help the hurting and the pain filled. Use your depression to help someone else who's going through depression. Use your grief to go hold hands with someone else who's grieving. Jeremiah 48:10, this is the Old Testament, says, "A curse on him who is lax in doing the Lord's work." Woo, that's a tough one. Aren't you glad we're in the age of grace and we're in the New Testament? Can you imagine that? A curse on him who's lax in doing the Lord's work, but in a sense, we bring a curse on ourselves when we get lax in doing the Lord's work. Jesus said this, "As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me." Notice he pluralizes it. Notice Jesus didn't say, "As long as it is day, I must do the work of him who sent me." Read it. "As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me." Jesus said this also, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray that the Lord bring in those workers." Why stand here looking into the sky when there's a huge harvest to be taken in? Paul said to the Corinthian church, "We are God's fellow workers." In other words, we are partners with him. Ephesians 4:12 says this, "It was Jesus, it was he who gave to the church apostles, prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers." And here's what our responsibility is as pastors and teachers and all those other ones. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. Jesus is up in heaven now, and he's given us power through the Holy Spirit to do his work. And so it's a responsibility of pastors and teachers, evangelists, prophets, and apostles to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Jesus Christ ascended so we can activate the gift of the Holy Spirit in us and get filled so that we can be His mouthpiece and His messenger. So that we'd stop consuming and start doing. Be doers of God's word and not hearers only, as it says in the book of James. Why stand here looking into the sky? Jesus Christ ascended so that we'd be useful and do His work. Pray with me. Lord, sometimes this kind of teaching and preaching scares people. But Lord, it's not meant to make us afraid. It's to make us so that we're motivated, Lord, and hungry to be Your servants, to be Your missionaries, to be Your ministers of the gospel. I pray that every person that's seated in this room, and I pray for the children of our children's church, that You would give them the gift in full measure of Your Holy Spirit. That they would realize that that gift has been given to them. They just need to activate the gift. Use the gift. Be filled with the gift. And Lord, I ask it in Your wonderful and holy and powerful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. How can we go out and prove our love? Thank you.
let's not allow the word of God that was spoken today to fall on rocky ground. Let it make it fertile grow. May this be a challenge for you, but may it also be your opportunity to step out and say, God, what is it you really want me to do? What is it? And then ask Him to activate the gift of the Holy Spirit in you, and you can do it. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Receive the blessing today. Lord, I bless your people today with the ability to be filled with the power of your Holy Spirit and activated. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We receive that today as your blessing. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.